Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 19, with a message he's entitled, First Fruits. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Isn't it evil to give the Lord the cheap stuff, the leftovers, and worship him that way, as if God's up in heaven just taking any type of worship and is desperate for people to worship? Oh, just give me anything, I'll take it. God says, not on your life. He says, I'm a God to be honored. Give me the honor that I'm deserving of. And don't give me this type of sacrifice. The sacrifice that God commanded in the Old Testament is very clear. It's an unblemished lamb, unspotted. It was to be perfect. It was to be the best. It was to be the choice. That's what God is deserving of. And it got to the point where they were giving God the leftovers, and that's the way worship can become for people. You can't give God cheap worship. Do not picture God up in heaven and saying, worship me any way that you want. I'll take anything that you give me. I'll just be glad that you give me even just one song. He says, if you're going to worship me, and it's conditional, you must worship in spirit and in truth. That's the type of worshipers God is seeking. Governed by the word, governed by the Spirit of God, in the realm of the Spirit, that's true worship. That's the only worship that God desires. Anything else, it's like putting a lame sacrifice there and saying, take this, Lord. And the Lord says, I don't want that. I'm not going to receive that. And that's a penetrating thought that the Lord would say to people today as well, because he changes not. If you're going to worship me that way, then don't worship. And this is what he tells these people here. Read on with me. He goes on to say, in the last part of verse 8, offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. So he says, shut the doors of the temple. Don't kindle fire on my altar if you're going to do it that way. If you're going to offer me the leftovers, the cheap stuff, just close the door of the temple because it's not worship. And so the Lord would say to us as well, if we're going to give him worship, it has to be the first fruits. It needs to be the best. It should be supreme. And that's what we desire to see. We desire to see people worship in freedom, a place where they could pour their heart out to God and have worship reflect the dignity and glory of the God that we serve. And that's not going to be half-hearted. I think worship, as God's Spirit starts working in our life, that there's something of an urgency within our heart that we must proclaim the Lord's goodness and how worthy he is. And even when we've done that with all of our might, we still have a sense, I haven't done it appropriately yet. I haven't done it satisfactorily. Lord, I want to give you more glory, more honor. I want to humble myself before you in even a greater way, because we're trying to reflect the nature and character of God rather than just coming and saying, you know, take this. Hope they sing the songs that I like. We need to worship with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That's the worship that God's deserving of. And when he says, I want the first fruits, he wants the first fruits in worship as well. He's deserving of it, and we really should offer him nothing less. Wouldn't it be evil if we were into animal sacrifices, we're still under the Old Testament, and you had all these lambs, say, well, here's the worst one possible, I'll give that to the Lord. Put it and brought it to the priest. That's what the Lord would compare worship to. He wants you to go to the best that you have, the one that's unblemished, unspotted, and take it and then give it. That's the type of worship that he's deserving of. And he says here, if you're going to keep giving me the leftovers, don't give me anything, because he's not desperate in heaven for it. He lives in eternal glory. He has the angels around him proclaiming his praises. He doesn't need some junky stuff coming up from earth. He wants it to be from the heart. And we need to learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth and with everything that's in us to proclaim his glory and his goodness. That's what we need to pursue after. I believe the Lord's worthy of such worship. Go back. We have two more passages I want to look at. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 3. And here's where first fruits comes in relationship to the financial aspect. And I want to spend a moment talking about that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So that's the command that the Lord would give. And the first fruits, again, was in that culture and society. If you had sheep or lambs or goats or whatever, the firstborn belonged to the Lord. And you could buy it back at a price. And that was the whole aspect there in the law. If you had crops, you would give the first portion that came up and you would give that to the Lord. Or if you wanted to buy that back, you'd put so much money in the treasury. But you're acknowledging all this blessing comes from God and ultimately belongs to Him. And I want to honor Him now by giving this portion back, showing that He gets the first, not the leftovers, not the least, but He gets the first of the increases because that increase comes from God. And that takes faith to do that, doesn't it? Typically, what many believers do, they say, well, I'm going to get all my bills together, and then what's left over, that's what I'll give to the Lord. But the problem is, there's not much left over, is there? It's not as if we have so much money in the bank because we have all this leftovers, and we're scratching our head saying, gee, I don't know what to do with all this money I have in the bank. Most of the time, we're waiting for that payday to come around just to make it. So if you live your life by saying, I'm going to live my life with my finances towards me, and whatever I have left, I'll give to God. You're never going to give to Him. This is why it takes faith. God says, I give you the increase. Ultimately, it's the Lord's. The breath that we have is His. And He says, if you'll do this, I'll provide for you. Look at verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So God says, you give me the first fruits, I'll provide for you. You give me the best, and I'll take care of the rest. There's a little rhyme that you can hold on to. The first fruits, off the top, you give to God. He says, I'll take care of your need. Isn't that what all through the scripture, give, and it'll be given unto you? And of course, we don't give so that we can get back, but we give because the Lord asks of us. And He says, if you would give, He would provide for you. So it's faith. It's always faith. That's why you can't just base it on the leftovers. That doesn't take any faith. Well, I have this so I can... No, we give to God to the first fruits. Now, I don't often talk about finances. I talk about it when it comes up in the Word, and I believe it's come up in the Word, plus I have a sense of conviction upon my heart to speak to our congregation about this issue. And if you're new here to Calvary Chapel La Mirada, these words really don't apply to you. It applies to where you go to church, where your home church is. You need to give the first fruits of your increase there at that place. That's what the Lord's deserving of in any congregation. And we don't speak on money every week. Just when it comes up in the text, which is about every other week. No, I mean, some guys are. They see money in every passage. But as it comes up, just like if prayer came up, teach on prayer, worship, whatever the case may be. And I have a sense of conviction upon my heart that many have operated that way. You have given God the leftovers financially. You need to grow up. You need to walk in faith. And don't try and live off all the money for yourself, and then whatever's left, I'll give to God. God would say, start with Him. And that's the only way to walk by faith, is to start with Him. Give Him the best, because that's what He's deserving. I want to honor the Lord with my increase, with my wealth that He has given to me. He's the one that gave me the job. He's the one that gave me the ability to do so. And this is what He's deserving of the top, not the bottom. Isn't He deserving of the top in every area? Why would our finances be any different? And my sense is that people have not done that. And I don't speak because we have some need at the church. God has provided for everything that we've ever desired to do, everything we believe the Lord's hand is in. So it's not because we have need of money, but we need to grow up in this area. I believe the Lord does have some good things for us in the future. We're praying about getting a new building somewhere, someplace. That's obviously going to take a maturity on our part, using the resources that God gives to us to buy a piece of property or to build a sanctuary, whatever the case may be. Also, we just hired someone on staff September the 1st. Our staff is growing. Armando Hernandez, and we're praying to bring Ronnie on real soon so that he could be at full time there in the junior high ministry. We want to see these things progress. And the bottom line is part of it takes a financial responsibility upon the members. God's given us a crusade down in Mexico and Tijuana that God is blessing in a great way, and many churches are getting involved. We want to continue to do that. Not only that, we want to move into other cities. We're praying and going to take a step of faith to move into Tecate, where the ranch is, and do some smaller crusades there. Hopefully in 3 years, there's a soccer stadium there. We want to rent that out and do a larger crusade like we're doing in Tijuana. We've also got a call to go into Mexicali with Calvary Satellite Network to do something together there. We want to take those steps of faith and do that. And there's no way we're going to go down to Mexico and take an offering there at a crusade. Paul says he wanted to preach the gospel without charge so that no one would stumble over that. But this is ministry that God's placed into our lap as a congregation. And I believe that God will provide through us. But it takes us being responsible, mature, and using our money wisely, and part of that is giving the Lord the first fruits. And I believe that God will bring blessing to your life as you do that.